Blog Talk Radio.
We go into summer reruns.
Right, I understand that.
But I'm trying to
remember our last show.
I'm trying to think of a last show. Oh, I think the last show was the lovely Susan Silver,
mm-hmm.
who was on with us again.
That is correct.
For that was 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
And then we have the roundtable next week.
Yes.
So, but yeah,
everybody's favorite.
It feels good to
be
live in New York. It is Wednesday. It's 1 o'clock. This is where you are. This is where we are. This is where all wonderful minds meet at 1 o'clock EST. Blog Talk Radio, she's raising the bar. Thank you for joining us. Yeah, you could do it again. You could do it again just to be nice, just to make us feel loved, because we love you back. And you know what? Today's show is going to be wonderful because we need, and I'm not going to say that the show is going to be light, but we need something a little uplifting. We need something that's freewheeling and light. That's what we need after this week.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, I don't have to point fingers at the White House, but after this week.
Oh, is that where you're pointing?
That's where I'm pointing. Yeah, and it's the finger next to my ring finger. But that's after this week. We certainly need something to feel a little lighthearted and a little bit of levity. That's what we need this week. So this is going to be a perfect
little
show.
Connection with the people that we live in the United States with.
Yeah. Well, you know, our audience is, I think, you know, we're not discriminating against anybody, but we're fairly like-minded. So everybody knows what I'm talking about exactly. So welcome, people, and great to have you with us and us.
Us,
let me clarify who us is. To my left and always close to my heart
is,
I'm waiting until he finishes, the lovely Elite Ziegelman.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome, madame.
And to my right.
And close. You're supposed to tag is supposed to be an also close to my heart.
Sweetheart. I'm not done yet.
Okay, I'm waiting.
You won't even let me
go
finish.
Ahead. It's yours, darling.
And
okay.
Close to my heart was close to my heart.
If
after this,
if I have to push it,
you don't give me a chance.
So disingenuous. Lori Towers is me. Let me get a little. Hey. Okay. All right, I'll accept that.
All right.
I resemble
when the
that
bell tolls.
For whom the bell tolls.
Mm-hmm.
So it is another Wednesday with Blog Talk Radio. She's raising the bar. Thank you for joining us. And today's show is going to, you know what, this is such a cool show. Our next guest, and it's funny because I lived upstate for a few years, and I think that it's so funny how the universe is such a small place, and my mother always used to say, keep your nose clean because you never know who you run into.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I cross circles with this. Our next guest, Mindy Fradkin, who's going to be coming on. And she was actually a DJ, Kingston Radio. And I actually did with my group, with
mm-hmm.
John and myself, we had a group, the Flames of Discontent. We were on Kingston Radio. We were on the Joel Tyner Show, and we were on Bill. Oh, my God, if Bill is listening, I don't remember his last name. But we were on the radio show quite a bit on Radio Kingston. And this lady had a show there. And this show, Ageless Wonder, sounds like such a fun show. And I'm saying this, we can't, it's already sold out off Broadway.
Wow.
So if you're licking your chops thinking that we even have a snowball's chance in hell of getting to see this show.
We can't.
It's sold out. And this is how well this show did. It's a wonderful show.
And how long has it been running so far?
Actually, it was a solo show at the Hollywood Fringe Festival, and it was standing room only there, and it's already sold out.
That's so cool.
Broadway. And it is just, and it sounds like, let me just give you a little bit of the show. It starts off with Mindy telling her audience that she was once one of the Beatles' screaming fans in the 60s, and then it goes from there. It's amalgamation of her life, and it just seems like there's this fantastic journey that happened. She was a hippie and went to comedy school in New York City, and it just goes from there. And what's really cool is she was, and this is how I heard of her, she was part, I think she's the creator of a Smile Revolution, and that was really big in the Hudson Valley. And I remember the car going by and everything. Mm-hmm. And she had Pete Seeger on the show. She had Arlo Guthrie on the show. And I knew Pete. And Arlo Guthrie I never met. And these were the people that were on her show. And the Smile Revolution was giving smiles to people who didn't.
Right.
Now, I say, try the Smile Revolution on the number 6 train at rush hour.
Yeah.
You try to get some of those
people
to
smile. Nobody's smiling.
Hudson Valley, a little easy to smile.
Well, yeah.
A little easy to smile with the tree hugging.
They're not running to work, slow moving,
but
totally different lifestyle.
And she also, this is what intrigued me, because you know what, my fascination with Coco Chanel and her hats and everything. This lady also she's a hat entrepreneur. She actually sells custom designed hats. And you know who bought them?
Bella Abzug.
Do you know something? I bet Bella would have.
Yeah.
That's a very good observation.
I was thinking,
Bella would have. And you know that's something. Bella was with us
for a long time,
for a little bit. But Nordstrom. Anybody who's selling anything, Nordstrom is not
cheap either.
It's not cheap, but they're a hard sell. Yeah.
So the
funny thing is, you know, she was telling me that since her show, her hats are doing, she's gotten some promotion for her hats. So she's got a cool show that's running.
And her hat
business. And her hat business.
At the same time, that's perfect.
Is that pretty cool or what?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, I love that.
Yeah.
You know, and that, I showed you some pictures of her hats and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know me very well, I'm a short-rimmed fedora girl. I like that.
Right.
That's my hat.
Right.
I never really go. I might wear a beret.
But you never ever try more different things.
No.
You're very stuck on something.
Yes.
And you don't spread your wings on other things.
Correct. You are, my friend. But I will say this. What was the explosion for?
Because you should.
Oh. Okay, I thought maybe an applause would be incentive for me as opposed to an explosion.
No.
Okay, whatever. You know, that's your journey. But what I'm saying is I will wear a beret, and I've worn a beret. But fedora.
But you won't wear it now.
I don't know if I wouldn't. I'm not saying I definitely wouldn't, but I...
It's not the really style right now.
You know something? I'm trying to think. There was one point that I wore a beret during a performance. I'm trying to think. It was like a camouflage beret, and I had my hair slicked back. And it was during one of our performances. I think it was at West Point or something like that. We did a protest rally. I'm trying to think. It was at one point. Maybe it wasn't that particular one. But, yeah, but that's one and only time.
Very cool.
But the rest is my fedoras, of which I have about 7, all different colors.
Those are considered really fedoras.
Yes, they are. Short-rimmed
fedora, I guess. That's what they're called, yeah.
But the traditional...
The regular fedora have bigger rims.
Right.
Longer.
I was trying to think. I saw one the other night. And it wasn't Lauren Bacall. It was somebody else like that. But that was the fedora with the... It has more of a limp.
Yeah.
I don't really like that.
One side is down,
right.
Next side is
right.
up.
And that's a lot of hats. You know, I don't...
They
I
were
don't,
big then.
Yeah, yeah. And most... The men wore them.
Excuse me while I take my sweater off, because I'm just very hot.
Are you hot in the studio? Talking about fedoras? Go right ahead. The audience could wait. The audience could wait. Everybody's waiting with bated breath. Now
all
you're
right,
back.
I'm
Thank
all
God.
Gone.
Thank God. The show
Did
was nothing. The show was nothing
oh,
without
shut
you.
Up.
But that's the cool thing about this. She's a lady that wears many hats.
Yeah.
I should have put that in
yeah,
in the promo.
Why not?
But so she'll be joining us in a few minutes, I think. And let me turn to you.
Yes.
And ask you the eternal question, Elite Ziegelman.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Yeah.
I'm doing very well. Anything new? Let me see. No, not really.
Talk to us.
I'm looking forward to seeing my daughter tomorrow night. She's playing in
Give it a shout out.
I can't even tell you where it is.
Oh.
I have no idea.
It's in Jersey somewhere.
Okay. Yeah. So she's going to
be in
that.
Support your regional theater.
That's fine. That's about it. And you?
We're excited about the new stuff that's happening on the show. I don't know if I am. You are, but I am.
Oh. Well,
we got a
keep
lot
it a
of,
secret.
No. We're talking about the new columns that are coming, the new contributors. We're going to have Gemma Magazine coming on board with us, Gem of the Month.
That's right.
And Elizabeth Coloso is going to be joining us, and she's going to be having
that should be different.
Something once
straight
a month.
From L.A.
Yeah. And
straight from L.A.
And Catherine Scotto is going to be coming on with
us
with
her,
with Great Pride.
Great Pride.
And, you know, that show was great because we had kind of a semi-roundtable discussion on letting your hair.
Remember when we went to New Hope a couple of weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
We were looking at that couple that were in the corner, and they were like, they were turning gray.
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't care, you know. The guy looked distinguished. The girl looked like she was in between her grays
mm-hmm.
and her browns.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny? She looked very, very young.
Yeah,
very young to have so much gray hair.
You know, it's funny because, I mean, I know of people that have started going gray
in their
30s.
Right.
It does happen. But the interesting part of that show was, as we're having a roundtable discussion, we had
Victoria come on.
Yeah, we had Victoria Marie come on, who is, the film release is in December, I think, of this year. And it's Grey is the New Blonde.
Right.
And she's the director, producer of that show, and she was on the set. And she was listening to the show.
Right, she called
and in. She said, you know what, I might have to go in a couple of seconds because they might need me, but I just wanted to say a couple of things. And she actually gave us 15 minutes.
Yeah,
and then we had her on. We had her
on
later on. And
that was a great show.
It was a great show. And, you know, the thing is, it's, you know, this show doesn't try to be too preachy, but I think what we do try to endorse is women's
own.
Yes, it's a solidarity, and the fact that aging is not a sin.
No.
And it's funny the way women are taught to cover their mouths when they give their age, and men not so much.
No.
You know, and this is why we need to see that. We have to push the envelope. We have to actually push back against ageism, sexism, and any ism that's actually we're caught against. Yeah. We kind of get caught in the whirlwind of all that. And that's what the show is about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being proud of who you are as a woman, your contribution to the planet, whether it's you're a mother or not a mother. I mean, we all have something to bring as human beings. And I think that that's what this show, Ageless Wonder, and it's you know, ageless. I mean, think about why we necessarily have to put a calendar marking on everything we do, why we have to put a watch to everything, that we just can't be without a number and just create, and life is hopefully a very long journey. And why can't we have some laughs and some fun and some contributions and some powerful statements to make?
Well, I think it all depends on the individual, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of individuals that just don't allow themselves to have fun or to laugh, or they're just so uptight about the world, and they let that get to them before they enjoy life.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I don't want to say it, but it's usually women.
Yeah, it is.
And,
it,
you know,
it really is usually women.
I don't want to talk about a show that you, I have to say, I thank you for getting hooked on.
Right.
The Handmaid's Tale.
What a wonderful
which
show.
Which is, if anybody out there is listening and they haven't seen it,
mm-hmm.
Elite turned me on to it. She got me the DVD. And I'm actually going through the first season, and it's just
it's an
been
addictive show.
Powerful and frightening.
Yeah.
Because we are not
far.
That
yeah, we're
far.
Not far from that, especially with what we're going through right now.
We are a few slips of civil rights away from this sort of climate and future. And I think that women and men will find it certainly a wonderful, entertaining means, but it's also something to say, well, you know something, I think that we need to assemble and push back because it's a little too frightening, a little too close to home. If I had seen this 10 years ago, I wouldn't have said it.
Right.
But I'm seeing it now, and if you haven't seen it, definitely pick up the DVD, and it's certainly worth...
Or watch it on Hulu.
Watch
if you
it
have
on
a small TV.
But I think on a lighter note...
Mindy is here. Let me bring her
Mindy
on.
Mindy is on with us. Mindy.
Mindy. Or watch it on Hulu.
Mindy.
Are you with us, darling?
Hi.
How are
Hi.
You?
Hi.
Here I am.
How
Welcome.
Are you, Mindy? Welcome to She's Raising the Bar. Are you with us,
darling? I'm here.
Hi. You know what? If you could, I think you need to lower, if you could lower, if
here
you're on your radio on, if you could lower it, because we're getting some feedback.
Okay, so wait a minute.
Go ahead.
I'm here. Should I turn off my speakerphone?
Yeah,
yeah.
Just turn it off. Yeah, yeah. You hear us.
Okay, okay.
You got that?
Okay,
yeah.
So wait a minute.
Go ahead.
Should I turn off my speakerphone?
Yeah, yeah. Turn it off. Yeah, yeah.
It sounds like it's in my
mouth. Okay, okay. You got that? Yeah, wait a minute.
Go ahead. There we go. You got it.
Should I turn off my speakerphone?
Yeah, yeah. Turn it off. Yeah, yeah.
It sounds like it's in my mouth. It sounds like it's in my mouth. There we go.
Got it.
Shut the door.
Yeah,
yeah. Or just lower the volume. It sounds like it's constantly repeating itself. There we go.
Got it.
Shut the door. Or just lower the volume. It sounds like it's...
We're having technical issues.
Oh, you're having technical issues?
There we go.
I don't know. I just should I call back?
No, I mean, is that your phone or is it the radio?
No, not on my end, but I don't know.
Should I call back?
Yeah, you can
yeah,
call
back.
Back.
We're
right
back.
Here.
We're right
back.
We're
not going
anyplace,
man.
Call us right
back.
Is it the radio? I'm on my phone. Should I? I'm on my cell phone.
Well,
yeah,
know,
but why do we hear ourselves
feedback?
All right, I'm going to call back.
Yeah, call
All
back.
Right.
We're right here, darling. We're not going anyplace. She's going to call back. That, I tell you, that seven-second delay, where was that second seven-second delay when we got a crank call that time?
I know.
That's what I want to know.
Well, thank God it was.
That, well, yeah, you remember, everybody heard.
Right.
Everybody heard
right.
what that was about. So she's going to call back
She'll
in.
She'll call back.
But that's why, you know, when you go on the radio, they'll say, please lower the volume.
Right. You don't want to hear yourself.
Well, it's confusion. If you hear yourself, and it's not
right.
a delay. It's fine. But it sounded like there was a lot of people in the house.
Yeah.
It sounded like a party. Maybe we should have kept it going. You know?
But then we keep hearing ourselves, though.
Yeah. Yeah, then I hear you.
Okay.
Hey,
I'm going to bring up, wait.
It sounded like there's a lot of people in the house.
Are we back?
Yeah.
It sounded like a party. Maybe
I'm here.
No, you keep hearing. We keep hearing ourselves. There's no way to shut down that volume.
Okay. Oh, on my computer, you mean? Okay.
Yes,
that's what it is.
Yes.
I'm here.
Just take the volume all the way down, love. That's all.
We keep hearing ourselves. There's no way to shut down that volume. Okay. On my computer, you mean?
Okay. That's what it is.
There you go. Oh.
You see?
Sweet silence.
Sweet
silence.
Okay.
Golden. Golden.
Hey, Mindy.
How are you? Welcome.
Is that better? Okay.
Much better.
You know,
oh,
you
okay.
Saying,
I didn't know. Okay.
It sounded like a party, which was kind of cool in a way.
Oh, God. Okay.
All we needed was dip in. You know what was funny, Mindy? I don't know if you heard when Elite and I were talking. We were talking a little bit about your hats, but you're going to certainly fill us in more about that. And I was saying, you know who would what did I say, Elite? Did I say who would have loved her hats? And you said Bella.
I said
Abzug.
Bella Abzug.
Bella Abzug.
Do you remember her?
Yeah, no, I agree. You're right. Yeah, she wore hats all the time. Yeah.
All the time. All the time. That's how I remember
and
her.
And you want to know the sad thing about that was Bella Abzug said she wore hats so she would be taken seriously, and she took up more space in a room.
Oh,
against
I could see
her,
that. Good for her.
Male count. Isn't that
yeah,
good for
that,
her?
Yeah.
That she felt
oh,
that a hat,
a, yeah,
yeah,
uh-huh.
a hat would make her feel that she was, I mean, and she wasn't a big woman. She was a shortish woman. Right. But that made her feel that she had more space in the room and more of a platform and would be taken more seriously. That's, mm-hmm. I mean, I loved her, and you know that. But I said, when I heard that, I said, my God, that's really, that's kind of sad.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad that she would feel that.
Well, think about the time, too.
Oh, of course.
So tell us.
What's the biggest, what transforms your look more than anything. It is very, I mean, yeah, but you have to feel comfortable wearing a hat. But
exactly.
In the city, people wear hats. I mean, they seem to be wearing a lot of hats these days, right?
Oh,
yes.
I think it's making a comeback. Mm-hmm. I honestly think so.
Yeah, I do, too.
Which is
nice. Yeah, I do, too, especially since the royal wedding and everything.
Exactly.
Well, you know,
but
those hats,
yeah.
I'm not crazy about those little, like, little side hats.
Well,
you're
talking about pillbox hats.
Right, pillbox hats.
But you,
well,
you,
big brim hats, I think, are in style. They seem to
yes.
be coming back, the big brims,
yes.
too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you
but you have to feel comfortable. Not everybody feels comfortable wearing something like that, but
yes.
I think they're fun.
I was saying to Elite before that, I mean, I like a shorter-rimmed fedora, but you see, like, the old, like, 1950s movies, and the standard fedora was a lot of hat, and women just, I mean, I'm a Betty Davis, it took up, like, it was wider than your shoulders.
Yeah.
But that
right.
was the look.
Right. That was the look. Yeah,
I mean, I've worn big brim hats, and then it's like I bump into people at parties, and I'm, like, knocking people. But it can be a little tricky.
Yes,
but
it
it's fun.
Yeah.
So I just want to tell you that you said that my show was sold out on Off-Broadway at the United Solo Festival. Well, it is, but I got another show coming.
Oh.
That I'm selling tickets for. Yeah.
Fantastic.
So it's exciting. It's Wednesday. I'm getting another. It's a matinee. It's a Wednesday, September 26th at 3:30.
Oh, fantastic! Let me tell you something. This, I mean, it, and
that
it,
tells you a lot.
It's pretty much a one-woman show. Yes.
It is a one-woman show, which I wrote. I have my directors out in LA. I've been working. She helped me develop it on Skype. We were working together for a long time. But I have my ex-husband Roland Musa. He and I wrote the music together, which is promoting the Smile Revolution. So it's all original music, and he plays music on. He plays guitar and harmonizes with me on stage. But it's still technically a one-woman show.
And that's
hard
to
great.
Do. That's you know that's no easy undertaking because I mean I know like doing the show. It's wonderful having Lead here because you bounce. Off, you know, you feed off
mm-hmm.
each other's energy. One woman, it's great, or one person, but you have the audience, and if you have an audience that's very interactive, and it's great. But if you have an audience that's kind of just sitting there, and it just there's
especially
no give
not
and take.
Getting what you're saying.
There's no give and take.
Well, my show is interactive, though, because I like for many years. I don't know if you know this, but I was doing a show with my hats as props. And I would sell them. When I first started making hats, in the early 90s, I would do shows like in Madison Avenue and different private homes and
nice.
Publicly too. And I would sell my hats at the end, and I would wear these outrageous costumes. And it was a show, but I would sell my hats at the end. And then I started selling to stores and doing custom work. But that's how it started. And then people started paying me to come and entertain them, like at women's
wow.
clubs and senior homes, et cetera, you know, because they love the show. So that's I was always performing and making, you know, and making hats. It's kind of like both because I've always loved to perform too.
Well, you performed.
So and then I had the radio show, which you know, huh?
You're
well, yeah,
story.
Well, that was, yeah, I booked myself for my birthday party. It was the Beatles had come to America. They were on the Ed Sullivan show, and I had to have a Beatles party. So I got myself, a Beatles wig. They used to have Beatles wigs.
I remember that.
You remember that?
Oh, my God,
okay,
yes.
So, of course, I had to go get a Beatle wig, and I got a guitar. And I did this show, and it was a dance party. And my cousin, Mark, who's my age, he was there. And he talked about the show for 3 decades. In our 30s, he's still talking about the Beatles
wow.
party.
How cool that is.
So, isn't that funny? So I was like, I guess I must be a performer. It must have been a good show.
Yeah.
Well, think about
you
it.
Know?
In those days, there wasn't really, I mean, birthday parties weren't really thematic. I mean, it was like either a cowboy, but to have like a Beatles and a little girl doing, that was great.
Yeah.
Well, it was just, I don't know, it just came to me just because, you know, I was one of those screaming girls. And I love the Beatles.
Yeah.
And I watched them on the air. The Ed Sullivan Show, you know.
So you saw the first, yeah. Did you? Well, you were obviously too young to go to any actual concerts, though, I'm sure.
Right. Right,
yeah.
But I did go to, like, the, what was that, the movie they did? I don't know. What was
Help?
That movie they did? They did,
Hard
yeah, Help.
Night.
I was screaming in the movie theater, you know.
Oh,
you know.
Wow, how cool.
You know, we were all, the girls were screaming in the audience.
You
but
know,
anyway, I was too young to go to the concerts. I didn't go to the concerts. I was too young.
You know, what's funny, my mother called in. WMCA was one of the radio stations the Beatles always, they raffled up of tickets and everything. And I remember my mother, I must have been four at the time, won, I think, two tickets. And we still, my mother passed away, but I think we still have those tickets somewhere. But she called in, she guessed
wow.
what Beatle would answer the phone, and she
Did
said
she
it was
went?
George. No, we were too small. She couldn't find a babysitter.
Oh.
So, but the thing is,
wow.
she called and she said, George Harrison, that's who answered the phone.
Wow.
And that
wow.
was, yeah, that was.
You know, it's so funny because Mindy was saying that you went into people's homes and you did shows in their homes.
Yeah, I
did,
yeah. Well,
house.
Like, you know,
yeah.
people who like hats. I mean, people who are
right.
you know interested in hats. So yeah, people. I would, you know, it was like through friends they would recommend me, and yeah, I did a lot of hat perform. I would call them hat happenings or hat
That's
entertainment.
So, cool.
so I would
love
do
that.
Like
I
these.
Love it.
Yes, I did these hat happenings in the city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, different people's homes, and you know, people who liked hats, and yeah, and
yeah.
I would sell my hats at the end.
That's really cool.
And it was interactive. Like I'd put hats on people's heads, and I'd be telling stories and. It was
right.
just really fun, and I got in the New York Times did a whole article on it. Like I
oh,
was
wow.
like on the cover of the style section in the late 90s.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and then I was on Good
Very
Day.
Awesome
yeah, then I was
that.
On Good. Well, cause yeah, I was on Good Day New York like four times doing hat
oh, nice.
Performances. Yeah, what happened was I was dressing in bright rainbow colors in the 90s, and everybody, you remember everybody in New York was wearing black.
I remember.
Remember. Okay, so I was wearing colored wigs, the four colored hairs and stuff. I was wearing, like, turquoise wigs. I was wearing these outrageous hats and bright color, you know, clothes head to toe. And I got the attention of, like, you know, this TV producer, and then she's, like, interviewing me, and then she's like, oh, you got to go on Gordon Elliott's show. I know this is, like, a long time ago. And
yeah.
Remember Gordon Elliott? Well, anyway,
I'm
so I was
sure,
on his door knocking segment. Remember that?
Oh, my God,
yes.
Remember
yes.
that? Yeah. So I was on his show, like, a few times, and then we did a whole hat performance right on Fifth Avenue. It was all live, you know. It was like people were chasing me down the street. Oh, yeah, when are you going to be on TV again? You were so great and everything. So it was really fun.
Yeah.
And
you know,
yeah.
Those were the days where you couldn't get a reality show that quickly. I guarantee you,
There's
if you
no
did
such
this
thing.
Nine, if you did this now, you would get one in a second.
Well,
Thank
you know
you.
What it reminds me of? Have you seen the Fabulous Miss Maisie? Miss Maisel?
Yeah, but people keep telling me about it. Now, I want to see it.
Yeah, because what she did, I mean, this was, I guess, was based in the 40s and the 50s, is that she went into people's homes and they did a little comedy act.
Is that right?
So that's what it reminded
oh, wow.
me of when she
that.
Said that. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I have to see it.
Yeah, you have to
that's
watch it. It's really pretty funny. She was, you know, she was a comedian.
I didn't realize
uh-huh.
that was the premise. That's very different.
Well, it wasn't the premise. It's just that she wanted, her husband was a comedian,
yeah.
and she really was the funny one, and she made herself something funny.
Okay,
it was actually
okay.
the days of, what's his name? Bruce, Lenny Bruce.
Lenny Bruce.
Yeah, Lenny
Bruce.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah,
so, check
so
it
how
out.
I got into, yeah, so how, I will. So how I got into, you know, performing, doing stand-up comedy and the comedy school and all that was, I was doing wardrobe for, like, you know, photography for, like, advertisements and stuff. And then I was doing costumes for a movie. And the whole time I was on the movie set, this actor friend of mine and this special effects guy, they were like, you need to be in front of the camera, not behind the camera. You could be the next comedy sensation. They were, like, hysterical for me every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was one of them said, oh, there needs to be Mindy Dolls. So it was, like, after that summer, it was, like, months in Pittsburgh doing this movie. With like Cesar Romero and Doris Roberts,
oh, wow.
and yeah. So then I went back and I said I got to take a comedy class. So that's how I got into doing the comedy class. Was from there, you know, telling me this every day. And then, so then I just started doing stand up comedy in the clubs in New York. And
wow.
What happened was it was, you know, late at night. People were smoking in that day and age. Everybody was smoking in these
course,
clubs.
Of Mm-hmm.
And then it was late at night and smoking and drinking and stuff. And I just didn't, after 2 years, I had a lot of stage fright at the time.
Yeah.
So then, I don't know, I was wearing hats all the time. And I just like made a hat for like a publicity shot for myself as a wardrobe stylist. And it was turned out to be this really cool hat. And so I never sewed a day in my life, and I made this hat. And then it was this great photograph and all this stuff. Anyway, so the point was is that I ended up, I have to make hats. I have to make hats. So I ended up going to hat school at FIT.
Oh,
you know,
there is
comedy
such a thing.
Hats. Comedy
yeah.
and hats kind of go together, you know, comedy and hats. So anyway, the point was is that I just ended up, like, learning how to make hats, and that's how, then I created this show with the hats and performing.
That's pretty
And you were able to sell them to Nordstrom's. I was even saying to Elite, that's not an easy thing to do.
Well, I did that years ago. That was years ago, but I also sold to Henry Bendel's, and you know,
wow.
And I sold to and I did a lot of public appearances there, and I sold to other top specialty stores in New York, and then you know did custom work and all that. So you know, but I'm kind of like now just I've been so busy with my show.
Can imagine.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's been a lot of work doing that, like a huge undertaking, and
well,
you know, I've done other work
time.
Too over the years, but I've been it's been a lot of work and still is, but. And then me being with the producer, because I'm also the one selling the tickets, so it's a lot, you know. So I'm, like, getting back into my hats, because, like, hats are part of my show. So I went to L.A. to the Hollywood Fringe Festival, and this woman was there. It was actually a friend from here in Newburgh who's a musician. He goes up there to record a lot, so he referred me to this woman, and she came, and she loved my show, but she's like, oh, my God, like, I love your hats, and she has a store out there. Well, she's opening a new store, so, you know, she's, like, begging me. She's like, I love your hat so much. I have to have those hats. You like, nobody's doing hats like you. And I'm like, all right, okay. So I'm kind of, like, now just, you know, getting back into it. But it's I still have to be careful with my time because I'm, you know, especially a month before my shows off-Broadway, I've got so it gets really, really busy.
I was
going to
say, what time do you have?
Yeah, well, but why don't you get somebody to help you with the hats, just with the hats?
I can't even imagine.
I know, it's a lot. Well, I'm just like kind of doing, I told her, I mean, until after my off-Broadway shows, I mean, I can't do a lot of hats. I'm just got to be careful with my time. But I can do some, but it's just I know how busy I get when I do orders for stores and all that stuff. So we're working it out.
Okay. Well, God bless. You know, but that's honestly a great place to be. To be too busy is always better than waiting for the phone to ring. So I'll tell you that
much. So it's
right.
But anyway, it feels right. I love hats and I love making them. It's just, you know, it's very time consuming. So it's just, that's all. So I'm available to do custom work and stuff. So I can do that too. You know, it's not like huge orders. That's different. You know what I'm saying? But I do have like a factory that can block them and everything. But
yeah.
So anyway, so that's about it. But I'm really excited. I got a second show and, you know,
so
it's
cool.
You know, I wanted, it's mostly for, it's about ageism in America and how I'm dealing with being an older woman, as we were talking about, and how it's not easy, you know, once you get into your sixth decade, and, you know, and so how I started writing was that people started talking to me differently.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And it started, like, freaking me out. I'm like, oh, my God, like, do I look older? Like, does my skin, well, I have, like, brown spots on my hands, or I must have more wrinkles. It just started, you know, people started saying to me, are you retired or, like, are you still working, things like that. And I'm like, what? It was, like, really weird.
Yeah.
And I was, so I was, like, working at this job that I was, like, hated, and I was, like, really, like, exhausted. And I just started writing this show one day. And then I called up my director because I was working on another show, but it didn't feel right. It was, like, feeling really heavy. And I'd worked with her for months on it, but I just had to take a pause and think about what I really wanted to do. And then the show just started writing itself because I just felt like I was entering a new universe.
Yeah. Well, see, that's,
you know,
what struck me. When you said that, and I even said to you, that's something I want to circle back to. People start speaking to you differently. And that, you know, I think whatever age you are, there's a pivotal point in your life where people start treating you differently because of something. And what you do with that is yours. But, I mean, when you say people started speaking to you differently, was it more condescending? What did you feel?
Was it
before or after the
show? Well, depending on the person, I'm like, well, I was working at this job, actually, with, you know, everybody was like 25 or 30. And then, you know, and it was like one day this guy said to me, he like literally in front of other people called me an old white woman.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was like, that was not a good day.
Oh.
And I said to him, well, this kind of stuff happens. I mean, you know, and it was like, I said, you know what, when you're, if you're fortunate enough to still be alive, you know, when you're my age, you know, you wouldn't like that if somebody talked to you that way. And he goes, oh, I was just kidding. I was like, well, it wasn't funny.
No, there's truth in every joke, I always say.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So anyway, so things, you know, like that, and then, you know, you're, like, working with people who are, like, you know, older, you're, you know, their parents are younger than you kind of thing, and then it's just weird, and then they talk to you a little bit differently, and then just different experiences like that, and then some people are like, oh, didn't being nice, but they're just like, oh, are you still working, are you retired, things like that, like, just comments, and then you're like, this is really strange, you know, it's like, okay. So now I'm like, you know, I started writing it like, I guess, a year and a half ago. I premiered my show last September in Beacon at the Howland Center.
Oh, the Howland,
Howland Cultural Center.
Absolutely. Know it well.
Yeah, so I premiered there, and then I went out to L.A. in January to the biggest West Coast solo festival. And then I went back to Hollywood Fringe, and now I'm doing it off-Broadway, two shows. It's the biggest, the one I'm doing in the city is the biggest international solo festival.
Oh, sure, yeah. Wow.
It's called United Solo. So the point is that, but it's since, you know, it's always evolving. Like, my show is always, I'm always kind of tweaking it because I'm getting new experiences or different. You know, now I'm like, well, you know, you kind of shift thought about, you know, things and you know, about your experiences and stuff. So, but it, you know, our society is so youth-centered, it is, things are, you know, things are starting to shift, but it's still, we have a long ways to go because everybody's, a lot of people, you know, and I was like that too, was how we were raised.
Yeah, in my generation,
if you you didn't trust anyone over 30, remember that?
Exactly. Yes, I do.
It's just so weird, right?
But you know something, 60 now is very different than our grandmothers being 60, because these were an assembly line of women that really didn't do much with their lives but have babies. That was really it. So they looked different. They didn't care for themselves. They didn't really exercise. They didn't think about makeup or education or anything like that. So we're never going to be that 60.
And women that are 60 now don't even look like they're 60.
No, it's a different era.
Yeah, it's totally a different era now.
I know. It's a different thought. It's our generation. It is a different thought, definitely. But still, there's still, you know, a lot of people are much younger. They do, you know, some, you know, I was like that too. So, I mean, I admit I used to be that way too. It's like if you see somebody much older, like, oh, they're old, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that out there.
What's funny
That's
is
why I wrote the show.
I always remember when John Lennon died, I think I was 18. I was 18 when he died. And I remember my mother saying, you know, it was like everybody, I think everybody remembers what they were doing that night and where they were and who they were talking
to. Yeah.
And I remember my mother saying, well, you know, he was only 40. And I remember at that time thinking, well, he was 40. Now, at 56, I'm thinking, oh, my God. He's 16 years younger than I am now.
I know. It's all relative, really.
That's the thing. 40 is like a baby. But then
I was like old age.
Yeah.
Man.
Right. I know. It's just, it's all relative is the whole thing. And
yeah,
so the point of my show, being, it's called Ageless Wonders, A Grown-Up Kid's Guide to Growing Newer.
Love it.
I mean, it's really all about that, in truth, because it has a metaphysical twist, my show, because I'm a Christian Scientist, and I've learned through Christian Science, it's not Scientology, it's not a cult, everybody thinks
what
there's
is
a lot
Christian
of people
Scientists?
Of different views, but
what is that?
For people that don't know.
Yeah, well, it's really primitive Christianity, it's really what it is. So it's about healing.
Yeah.
And I was very ill. In my 20s, and I was diagnosed with a rare incurable blood disease. And this is the only thing, the medicine didn't help me, and so the only thing that helped me was this. So that's been my path for a long time. Well, I've learned through that, it's really metaphysics, and I've learned that we're ageless and eternal, you know, our souls.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why I, and so it's, my show is really to help people have, like, think a little bit, think differently about age, because we really are, in truth, ageless wonders.
Yeah.
And I used to tell my dad that, you know, I was raised Jewish, and the thing is, my dad would say to me a few months before my birthday every year, oh, you're 27 when I was 26. I'd say, Dad, you're making me older. And every year he would do that, And then when
Lori
I got to Christian Science, I was like,
anyway.
No, but my mother used to say when I was, like, if I was going, now you're walking into, when I was 16, she would say you're walking into your 17th year.
Right.
So it was
okay,
always,
so,
that turned 16.
Okay,
you're not
so my dad
yet.
Did it
she
too.
Said.
Right.
That's
funny.
Did.
Yeah,
that's
I know my dad did it too. So then when I got into Christian Science, I said, he said, okay, you're turning, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, Dad, I'm ageless. And he just paused. He didn't know what to say. And then the next year, I did it again. And then one year, he said, oh, you're an ageless wonder.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, Dad, I love that. I said, I'm going to use that, Dad. And I have. And I've been, like, when people would say to me, how old are you? Because everybody wants to know your age in our society.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. I'd say, I'm an ageless wonder, and so are you. And they'd say, oh, come on, I need to know the number. I'm like, no, I'm an ageless wonder, and so are you. And I would say that for years. And then when I started writing my show, it was like it became the title.
And I think it's, you know, it's an important show for especially now. You know, again, we're in a climate where, you know, there's ageism, sexism. And, you know, again, you never want to make a political point that's too strong that you can't really laugh at because you want to get the masses. You want to get people to laugh. And sometimes when people laugh and enjoy, they think. And I think that's
right.
Probably what the best part of the show is. You're getting them to think without knowing you're making a point.
Right.
Uh-huh. Well, it's a lot of storytelling and this, you know, original music, live music, but it's also I do an interactive hat performance in my show.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, you have your mirror and it's like you can see, you know, and they do like some improv, like pretending you're a model. This is what I've been doing for years with the other show. So it's like, of course, I had to add that into my show, and people love that. You know, people love to try on hats, and it's like interactive with the audience, and I do talk to the audience a lot. So there's no fourth wall. It's
mm-hmm.
not like a typical, it's not like a regular play, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So why not, let me ask you this, would you think about going into stand-up comedy forum after this, or you think that that's nothing you'd be interested in?
I don't know, like right now, I'm just focused right now on this and,
yeah.
you know, improving it and like, you know, getting better at you know, improving the show. So I just kind of take my life like one minute at a time, basically. I have goals, but it's basically like I just want to, you know, get to my off-Broadway. You know, really, I have a lot to do to prepare, to, you know, I'm rehearsing. I have a coach. I'm working with a coach now in the city, and I've got my director, you know, so I'm just, you know, refining it and getting, you know, getting better at it and working on it. It's always, you know, you're always like, it's a work in progress. All shows are. You're always like working
mm-hmm.
on it. And so that's my focus right now. I don't know past that right this minute. And doing my hats and doing some more of my hats and, you know. So my there's a store out in L.A. that's actually, they're moving. It's called In Heroes We Trust.
Okay.
So that's who's going to be carrying my hats in L.A. In the fall.
Oh, very
yeah,
nice.
She's moving to a new location. So when she opens, my hats will be there. And anyway, so yeah, so that's basically you know, my focus right now and, you know, creating new hats and that's what I'm doing.
So I'm
and,
just curious, more than enough, how was your reception at the Howlin'? Did you get a good turnout there?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yep,
yeah.
I did. I got some good reviews and yeah, it was great. And it was wonderful because I used to live in Beacon.
Oh yeah.
And I know that I've performed there with Roland, you know, my ex, I call him my was.
Was then. That's really funny and cute. That
we're still like best friends.
Love it.
Or we're still like best friends. So yeah, so we performed there singing. He's a Grammy Award winning singer. He worked a lot with Pete Seeger, and I did too. But he knew Pete for decades, and he
yeah.
was like part of the, you know, Pete Seeger family. And so he anyway, so he's a great singer songwriter. So we played there before, so I knew them, and so it was just felt right to start there. You know,
yeah.
it's a great venue.
You know, it's funny because I took a lead up to Beacon because I lived there for years, and I never got to take you inside the Howlin', but it is just, most of my promos were shot there. It is just, if you're a musician, the acoustics are just phenomenal there.
Yeah.
They
I
are.
Mean,
yeah.
Who
it's,
is there?
Well, it's also a.
Who is the lady that's there now? Florence? Is she still there?
Florence. Yeah, she's still there.
Florence.
Yep.
Is still there.
Florence is there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's not the president anymore, but she's still on the board.
Yeah, I know. There was a lot of politics with that, but yeah. But
yeah.
I mean, Pete Seeger, I mean, we played, I remember one Christmas show. We did. We were in Rhinebeck. We had a show in Rhinebeck, and then we had to meet Pete Seeger at the Howlin', which we always played there. And I remember Pete Seeger at the time must have been, probably 85. And he ran from the audience and jumped on the stage. Like,
wow.
I've never seen an 85-year-old man, and his wife is in the audience saying, Peter, stop. And he just leaped onto the stage. And it was just amazing. He was like, you'd see him chopping wood, perfect form, just made his soul
right.
Really,
he was a real ageless wonder. Yeah. Yeah, he really was amazing. Yep.
And if you remember, if you were in Beacon years ago, they tried to run him out of town for being a communist.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I knew about that. I mean, I knew about that, yeah.
Years ago. And now I think they wanted to create a stamp. I mean, he would walk into town. He'd walk on Main Street, and Pete would go, oh, hi, Pete. He would walk with his wife, Toshi. Hi, Pete. And just, yeah. But, oh, yeah, he was right up on the hill, and they wanted to run him out of town years ago.
Years ago, they wouldn't even serve them. They wouldn't even, the businesses wouldn't even serve them food or even let them buy anything. There was only one place. There was only one store that would service them.
Horrible.
It's terrible. I know. So anyway, I want to tell you about, so I was close with Pete, and I was very fortunate, and he played, actually, the banjo on our first song, the Smile Revolution song.
Oh, is that cool. And you had him on your show.
And
Arlo Guthrie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And Richie Havens.
Richie Havens,
but Roland was very close with all of them. Well, mostly Richie and Pete, and he was friends with Arlo for a long time, too. So that's how I connected with them, was through Roland. Anyway, there's part of my show is I have you ever heard of Anthony Mancinelli? He's 107.
Sure.
Yeah, so 170-year-old. He's a barber. He works full-time. He's world famous. And my videographer and I interviewed him for my show. So I have a 2-minute teaser of him talking, in his the barber shop where he works in New Windsor at Fantastic Cuts. And he's going to be at my show on Wednesday, September 26th at 3:30.
Oh, wow.
So you'll be able to meet him.
107.
Wow. He's 107. He works full time. He drives, and he doesn't wear glasses. He said that's for old people. He doesn't wear glasses even.
Wow.
It's incredible. I mean, he's a real ageless wonder. I mean, he works 40 hours a week.
Wow.
And they keep cuts hair. I mean, it's amazing.
He must love his job because it sounds like he's like healthy with just a nice mind, a healthy mind.
Let me ask you, Mindy, would you want to live to 107? What do you think?
The way this guy is, I would.
If I'm in good health, like as he says, like he has a driver's license. I said, is at the DMV, are you going to renew your license at 110?
Wow.
He said, if I'm okay. He goes, yes, if I'm okay.
Exactly.
The DMV must be in shock. The DMV must be in shock when he goes there.
Yeah.
But
I mean, if I'm healthy and if I'm functioning like he is, I mean, yeah.
Why not? Yeah.
Why not?
The only thing that would bother me is I think like at 107, you probably outlive most of the people that are.
You outlive, yeah.
I would imagine you outlive your kids. You might. You
outlive. Well, he still has his son. His son is about 80. His son's about 81.
Of course, sure.
But one of his sons died in his 40s. One of his sons died in his 40s.
Wow.
So you never know. And his wife died about a decade ago.
Wow. See, I think that's the only thing that would bother me, really.
Well, he's got good genetics.
Well, yeah, no, but I think your contemporaries are not with you.
I know, and everybody starts dying now. Yeah, I know. It must be weird, but he's fine. It doesn't bother him.
That's probably
fine.
Why he
works. You know what he says to me? He said life goes on. That's what he says.
It does. It's true. Life goes on.
He says life goes on, and he just stays in the moment. He's just in the present. And he's got grandchildren. He's got a lot of family in Newburgh and New Windsor, so he does. But, he has a really great attitude. I said to him, do you ever get depressed? He says, never.
Wow.
Do you ever worry? He says, no, never. I mean, he's an amazing guy. The guy is like, I said to him, are you real? Are you a real person?
Well, I think it's attitude, too. I mean, genetics certainly come into play, but attitude.
But his attitude.
An ageless wonder prodigy.
Yeah.
He's like a real, he's just a model of, how people should be. He's like, yes, he's been sick at times. He's had surgeries, he has. But he's healthy. I mean, he said... The doctors say, you need to come to the doctor. He says, why? I feel fine. He doesn't even go to the doctors, rarely.
Yeah.
Because he says, I feel fine. Why do I have to go? I feel fine.
Yeah, because
they'll
tell you something's wrong, and then it goes crazy. There's no
he
need
said,
for
if
that.
Something's wrong, I'll call you.
Right.
And they're like in shock. They can't believe
it. If it ain't
it.
Broke, don't fix
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
It's amazing, though.
But what's our record? What's our record in the United States for the oldest living person? Is it 112? I'm trying to think.
I don't know.
Because I have a friend.
Probably around there, 113.
Yeah.
I don't know, but internationally, there's some people in Japan who live really long lives.
Sure.
Around there. I'm not sure about America, but he's up there.
Yeah, I know. I have a friend whose mother is 108, but not the way this man is, 107. She's, blind and this guy is high-functioning as the rest
of us.
That's
what I'm saying. That's why he's world-famous. Every country has interviewed him except China.
Wow.
He's in Ripley's, Believe It or Not, and he's in Guinness Book of Records. Yeah.
God bless him.
Michelle Obama wrote him a letter. Yeah, because it is. He's working full-time. That's what's so astounding about it. And he drives.
Sarah Canals
and
is 119 years old.
119.
Yeah.
That's...
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Well. That's...
Right. And it's so funny because all of them are women.
Are they?
Yeah. Lucy Hannah is 117, Susan Jones is 116, and Gertrude Weaver is 116. The four USA oldest persons alive.
God bless and keep them.
Yeah.
Ah, that's amazing.
So now this is the point of the show where we tell the guests to go plug themselves. If there's anything, Mindy, and we're going to have you on again, I think probably, you said the show is going to be September 26th. We'll have you on sometime in September. We'll flush
that'd
it out.
That'd be wonderful.
And get the info out again because people
Thank
are sure.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. But is there anything that we didn't hit on that you want to shout out now? Do it. And I'm going to collect any links or anything so we could put it on our Facebook page tomorrow. But if there's
that'd be great. Yeah,
missed,
so I don't have to say... How to do? Yes, it's telecharge. I don't have to say all that, right? Telecharge, the phone number.
No, I'll get the link and everything.
Yeah, you'll put all that and everything later. Okay, great. Well, anyway, so I'm trying to think of anything else that I wanted to say. About my show. I don't know. I'm trying to think of anything I hit. Well, I wanted to say actually that with my hats. A lot of times I do custom orders. I'm just thinking about it, actually. I do, image consulting, too. I basically help people put their whole image together doing their hats, which is unusual. But because I was a wardrobe stylist for years. So I have that hat your image together, which is actually kind of really neat. And a lot of people need that help.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense now.
With your hats, what you should do is put outfits together because people do that now online. They want a summer outfit. You tell them your kind of style, what you like to wear, and they send you outfits every week.
Is that right?
You pay a certain amount of fee, and they'll send you outfits.
I have no idea what's going on. Where am I living?
I don't know. Where have you been?
I don't know.
I just go through their closet and help them with accessorizing and all that stuff, too, because I'm good at that, too. I just kind of have that talent, too.
Right.
So, as you said, I'm a woman of many hats. I'm multifaceted.
I really love performing.
I love performing, and I love I love live audiences. I really love being, and it's all about helping my audience and giving them new inspiration and walking out, thinking
feeling
differently
good.
About their age, about their life and how they view age, and maybe thinking differently about. When you look at other people at different ages. So I did a lot of research. There's a lot of, it's like information, educational entertainment.
I like that. And that, I think that anything you go see should be thought provoking one way or another. It should be something that you leave the theater and you go for coffee, you go for a drink and you discuss it.
Yeah.
And then you digest it and think about it again the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a wonderful thing. And we definitely need it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what it's about. And then the NoHo Arts District, it's a magazine in L.A., said, I remember reading a quote off my postcard.
Please,
it said, Mindy is a wonderful, Mindy is a wonderful living work of art.
Ah, how nice.
Very nice phrase.
The Woodstock Times covered one of my hat performances years ago, Paul Smart, and he said, she leaves the smiles and laughter for keeps.
Oh,
isn't
that's nice.
That, you know what, the best part of that is no one could ever take that away from you. That's a quote that's priceless, it's timeless, it's yours. How cool
that's right.
is that?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Thank
Very
you.
Very nice.
Thanks.
Very nice.
Okay,
well, Mindy,
great.
Thank you so much for joining us. And we're going to have all our information, all your information on our page tomorrow. And you'll be back at some point in September, and we'll be talking about this again and get people excited about the show.
Yeah.
That'd be wonderful. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate your support, and it was wonderful talking to you on the phone today.
And absolutely. And thank you so much, love. And you have a wonderful day, and keep smiling, darling.
Okay, you too. Keep smiling.
Bye-bye, Mindy.
Okay, bye-bye.
Mindy Fradkin. Isn't that nice? What you know, and so inspirational. And she does so many things. It's just like she's doing this. And fine. And you know what I love it? She's so nonplussed about it. She's doing this. And it's fine with her. And we'll go down to the show. And you know what? Maybe we could do. Do you think we don't want to do? We'll do. We'll just stream. We'll do some live stream. We'll get some pics with her.
We'll get some pics with her. You know.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
That'll be a fun day. We definitely want to see the show. You know, want to see the hats.
I was thinking we should do the show afterwards and discuss it with her.
You know something, Elite?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just
think. Right, because beforehand we haven't seen it.
No, but I'm just saying. Well, I don't know if she's going to have. Do you want to talk about, you're talking about having a show after?
No, I'm talking about
have
the week after.
Okay.
The week after.
You know what we can do? That's an idea there. We could have her on and discuss it from our point of view, but then it might not get enough people into the theaters on the 26th. That's the only thing.
We'll just hype up the show. We've got two months yet.
Well, she's got two shows. They added the one on the 26th, and we'll go into that one. And the other one is October, I believe. I don't want to miss. Why am I saying October 12th?
So it's not an ongoing show like every day?
No, it was just going to be one time, and then the standing room only, obviously, so they had to add another show.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So that should be a lot
very
of fun.
Very exciting.
And she's lovely, and it's so funny. Our paths, she knew Florence, she knew everybody from Helen.
Of course.
And she lived right across the river from me. I could have gone over to her house.
You could have.
Right over the.
You
drove over that bridge with me, the Newburgh Bridge.
Very
goes
beautiful.
Goes right
bridge,
into Beacon. Yeah. So, and that's such an artsy area. And that's why I asked how she did at the Helen, because that town is hopping now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people from Cold Spring are coming up there and you're enjoying it. And I think that's our show. But we have so many
cool things coming up.
I can't say all of them.
No, we can't.
But we're working on
things.
One that's going to include Elise, and that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, Elise's always included. But
I'm always included,
like,
but I'll be the
guinea
pig.
You're going to be the guinea pig for this one. It's going to be some cool things. You know, it's going
to
be cool.
So whoever's on my side, please stick by me.
Well, make that cricket noise.
That was people on your side.
No.
Yeah, this is my side. Go Elite. Biggie. Easy.
Not easy at all, trust me. not easy at all. But we want to thank Mindy Fradkin for coming on.
Yes.
And her show is going to be something that is worth seeing, specifically in this culture and climate that we're in. But, you know, just in general, I think even 10 years ago, it might not have been as important to see, but I think it would be delightful to see, you know, at any point in time. So we're going to be putting all that on our Facebook page tomorrow and thanking her again, of course, and thanking the studio audience and everybody listening. Yeah, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Because without you people, there would not be a show.
Exactly.
And without my lovely co-host, there would not be a show.
Without my co-host over here, or my host, whatever you are. I'm
we're
56 year old.
I am.
She's only 55,
but
guys.
But in 3 months, I'm going to be 56, right?
3 months? August, September, October, November. Four months.
4 months, okay.
Give yourself a little slack here. Hold on to that double nickel. Hold on to it, because you will never be that again.
I cannot wait till I'm 60.
But you will never
you know
be 55 again. Hold on
right
to
now.
It.
I'm going
to
say something right now. If you think I'm this obnoxious at 55,
mm-hmm.
you have any idea what you're in for when I'm 60?
It's going to be the same.
You ain't seen nothing yet, baby.
You couldn't get any more
one
obnoxious.
One-arm push-ups at 60. Wait, do you... Wait, just wait.
Baby, do you think that we're going to change by then?
well, I'm just going to be more obnoxious because I can be, because I said, look what I could do at 60.
That's what I'm saying. We're not going to change. She's still going to be obnoxious, and we can still
have
do
more
push-ups.
License. I'll have more license. But that's, you know what, that's,
all right.
That's bickering between us, right,
good
Gracie?
Good night, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie.
Got the
and
same.
Thank you. It's scary and it's sickening. Thank you all for being here, and we will be with our roundtable discussion next week with Nancy Donahue and Patricia Martin joining us, and it will be a topical subject that we'll always manage to make comical. Thank you for joining us. Go out, make it a productive day. Be
love
good
yourself.
To each other. Yeah,
love yourself.
Love your neighbor.
Because if you don't love yourself, you can't love everybody else.
And just be good to each other. Be gentle. Be compassionate, and make a little mark in the world. That's really it. However small a mark you think you're making, it's a big mark.
Well, the mark, hopefully the marking is not just your tombstone.
No, that's the whole thing. It's got to be the memory and the imprint that you leave on people's hearts.
Let's make a mark.
Go make it a good day, people. See you next week, same time, same channel. Nina, bring the car around. Take us home.
Woohoo!
One, two.